The statement on the screen is true. I have performed the Heimlich maneuver on a dog, saving its life. We had just moved to Kingsport. Brandy had a rawhide bone, and somehow or another, she got it stuck in her throat. We could tell she was strangling. We could tell she was choking because she was just kind of wandering around, and you couldn't hear any breath at all. And so I didn't know what to do. I'm a kid, right? I'm a kid when we moved to Kingsport. And I'm like, what in the world am I going to do with this dog? And I thought, well, do the Heimlich, right? Now, how do you do the Heimlich on a dog? Same way you do it on a person, I guess. I did it. Bone popped out, and she was saved. Why in the world did I do the Heimlich on a dog? Now, I did not do mouth-to-mouth. That's the one thing. Tim asked me, he said, you didn't do mouth-to-mouth, did you? Nope. I loved this dog, but I didn't love her that much, all right? My question for us as men, as we come to our discussion on the arena of the church, do we love the church? Do you, as a man, love the church? You see, we're living in a time period in which the church is more vital than it has ever been in my life or your life. Now, it doesn't mean that there are times in the history of the world that the church has not been important. That's not what I mean. But I want us to understand that things are changing, aren't they? What's interesting is in the first century when things got bad, that's when the church grew. The church grew in connection to persecution. My challenge for us today as we consider our work as men in the arena of the church is to be reminded of just how vital our work is in helping bring souls to the only place that they're ever going to find true unity, peace, comfort, and truth. That's why your mission is so important now. That's why it is the most important mission that you have in your life as a man, is to fulfill your role and responsibility in the Lord's church. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody here, are we ready with the slides, PowerPoint? Good? No? Okay. It doesn't mean that everybody here will become an elder or a deacon, because not everybody in this room should become an elder or a deacon. But as a man, you have a responsibility in the Lord's church. As we think about it, there are a few things I want us to consider today in connection with our role as men in the arena of the church. And that is this. Number one, you have to be a follower first. We have to be followers first. If we want to be good leaders, we have to make sure that we are followers first. You know, in First Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, in a very crucial time in the history of Israel, there are men who have to make a choice. You see, David has already been anointed king. You remember this? And yet David is not the king. Saul is still king. Saul, as a matter of fact, is chasing David at this point. He's left his responsibility as king, and he's trying to chase after David because he understands what all that means. And so as Saul is chasing David, David flees, but David also fights. There are men who decide that they need to stand with David. Among those are the men of Issachar, the men who understood the times and what Israel ought to do. This afternoon, as we consider our work in the arena of the church, we need to make sure that we're understanding this idea. As I said, the Lord's church is more important than it's ever been. As the darkness closes in, people are going to be looking for light. The only light they need to find is the Lord's church, the gospel truth. It's the only thing that's going to help them. But the first thing we have to do, if we're going to become leaders, we're going to lead other people to Christ, is we need to make sure that we are the right kind of followers first. Good leaders have first learned to be great followers. There are some men here today that I haven't seen in a long time from Northeast. Love to see these men. In my formative years, they helped me to become the person I needed to be. The men at Seven Hills Congregation in Lynchburg, Virginia, at a very formative time in my life, have helped me to understand what it means to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. The men at Henderson Church of Christ in Henderson, Tennessee, when Sally and I were first married, they taught me, among other things, how to be a good husband. They reminded me how to be a good follower of Jesus Christ before I could ever, ever consider being a leader in the Lord's church. I must first learn to be a great follower of Jesus Christ. Are you a follower or are you a fan? You see, that's what we have to decide. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, This is what Paul says. Now in chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, be imitators of me. In 11:1, he further qualifies this by saying, look, be imitators of me as I am of whom? Christ, right? He says, I want you to have the right model. That word imitators, you have heard this, I'm sure, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but other Greek scholars have said, hey, this is kind of where we get that word mimic from, or mimeograph. You remember those? If you're old enough to remember the mimeographs? It's a copy, it's a reproduction of that. Paul says, look, don't be imitator. Just don't imitate me. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Learn to look like Jesus. Seek to be like Jesus, to be like Him. That means we have to be followers of Jesus Christ, not fans. I am an Indianapolis Colts fan. Now, that's not because I'm a Peyton Manning fan. Okay, I was a Colts fan long before Peyton Manning joined them. And bless my heart, I am a fan, all right? In good years and bad years, the problem with just being a fan is that fans are fickle, right? Fans sit in, not on the sidelines, fans sit in the stands. And maybe you've been this way at a Friday night football game or a Saturday football game you're watching, and you're looking, why did they call that play? Why did he run this? Why did he do it? We always know better, don't we? Don't we always know better as fans? We really do. We look at it like, man, they shouldn't have. I've never studied football like those people have. I have no idea. I try to keep my mouth shut. We're not fans of Jesus. We're followers. He says we do. He commands we go. Love your enemies. Jesus, I don't want to love my enemies. If you're a follower of Jesus, you will. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we're all ooey-gooey in love with Him? Absolutely not. We have that agape love, which Daniel mentioned a little earlier ago. We want what's best for those folks in their lifestyle. If they're our enemies, many times it's not best. But we have to be followers of Christ before we can ever be leaders in the church. The other thing we need is, as men to consider when it comes to the Lord's church and to become leaders in the arena of the Lord's church, not my church, the Lord's church, is that we have to unplug. And we need to get plugged in. You know, there's going to be, there has been, and there probably will be in the future, discussion about roles and responsibilities and the role of women in the church and the role of men in the church, and I'm not here to discuss that today, but I'm convinced that a lot of these discussions begin not necessarily just because of the feminist movement that people blame that on, but it's because we, as men, have not fulfilled our role in the church. We've sat back and we've said, somebody else will do it. There's somebody else better qualified for that. I'm just going to hang out. I mean, I give, right? I show up. Preacher's got somebody to preach to. I think the trouble stems from more of us being completely apathetic and just downright lazy in the church. Now, if you don't like that, good. Because I want you to change it. Now, I know I'm talking to the all-star audience here today. You're here on a Saturday, and you could be doing a whole lot of other things. At the conclusion of my time, I'm going to challenge you with something, and I want you to take it serious. Because I think it has the ability for the Lord's church to grow exponentially if you will accept that challenge. But quite honestly, too many of our men in the Lord's church, they are not truly prioritizing what they ought to be prioritizing. West End, same place, same issue sometimes as Central, other places. There are folks who are more plugged into their hobbies or their kids' hobbies than they are the Lord's church. People are missing on Sundays because they're taking their kids to some kind of ball camp or to some kind of tournament and they play on Sunday. Got to be there. Got to get that scholarship. Got to do this. Got to do that. Now, that doesn't mean you're a terrible, horrible parent if you do that for your child. It's a great thing for our children to be involved in extracurriculars. But that's what they are. Extra. You see, if we're really going to be followers of Christ, we set the right priorities for our families. I mentioned all these men and all these congregations that helped us. You know what really encouraged me to be a follower of Jesus Christ? The people in my home. My mom and my dad. Can't tell you how many times I came home and I would see my father sitting somewhere with the Bible open. My dad has always been, my mom, they've always been plugged in to the Lord's church. I didn't know anything different. I didn't know that you could skip Sunday night. I didn't know it was allowed. I didn't know you didn't have to show up on Wednesday night. Are you kidding me? What? My parents have always wanted to make sure that we were plugged in. Does that mean we've never missed? Absolutely not. Our men need to be more plugged into the Lord's church. We need to seek to unplug ourselves from some of the things that are not truly, eternally beneficial. Doesn't mean you have to give it all up. I'm not a teetotaler. It's not what I'm saying. If we want our children to see the Lord's church as being very important in our lives, show them with your own life. You know, my life sometimes looks like this. A lot of great things to be plugged in as a parent with your kids and all that. My life sometimes looks like an overblown receptacle, right? And this is what happens when we do that, right? This is what I look like almost on a daily basis sometimes. And there are times I just have to stop and have to say, you know what? What is most important? This other stuff we've got to set to the side, because this is truly what is most important for our family. What is most important. And what that means is that we need to make sure that we're identifying our strengths and plugging ourselves into the place that's most important. That's in the Lord's church. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts. Now, we look at that today. We need to understand we're looking to find some more natural gifts that God has given us. He's endowed us with that we can use in the work of the Lord's church. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Again, this segment where he talks about ways to be plugged into the Lord's church. But it's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 that I want you to look at. We just looked at verse 11 just a minute ago. But in verse 10, he talks about, as each of you has received a gift, right? As each of you has received a gift, what are you supposed to do with that gift? What are you supposed to do with even just the gift of grace that God has given to us? What is it that God wants you to do with it? Employ it. Employ it. In what? Serving one another. Get busy using it. Oh, I don't know what my gift is, Jeremy. I have no idea. Here's a clue. What do you notice and your congregation that needs to be done that goes undone? That's of interest to you. It piques your interest. You know it's not been done. Maybe that's something you need to check out. What's a talent that's something you're already good at? Maybe you're a good leader. You're a good speaker. You are a good teacher somewhere already. There you go. There's a clue. There's a place where you can look at. Maybe you walk into an auditorium and you're walking down and you look over and you notice somebody sitting there and you're like, man, they look really sad. And you go and you sit down and you just put your arm on the back of the pew and you just start to talk to them and they open up to you. Folks, that is a talent, that is a gift from God, because there are a whole lot of people that walk past that person that never notice them. Find out what your talent is. Plug into the Lord's church and use it to bring glory and honor to Him. You see, what happens is when we decide that we're not going to use our gift, we leave the picture unfinished. I don't know what your puzzle piece looks like. If you've ever worked a big jigsaw puzzle and you get down to the end and you're missing a couple of pieces, that's miserable, isn't it? You can't finish the picture. If you're a man not living up to your role and responsibility in a church, you're leaving the picture unfinished. The body is not operating as efficiently or as effectively as it could where you are, because you're not plugged in. Your puzzle piece may be all straight-edged. You're one of the corner pieces, a pillar, a foundation person that you're there to help give leadership or whatever. That's great. Fulfill that role. Maybe you're one of those pieces in the middle. You could fit just about anywhere, and you touch a lot of people because you're that kind of person. People open up to you. That's great. Get plugged in wherever it is, whatever it is that God has given to you. Get plugged in. Unplug from the world and get plugged in. And the last thing we have to do, and this is where the challenge will come, for us as men, is that we have to lead towards a legacy. We often use the phrase, we're going to leave, and we do, we leave a legacy. I'm not a big fan of that phrase. It sounds like we just kind of disappear and, oop, I left something. Oop, there it is. There's my legacy. You can say it any number of ways. You preach your own funeral. Maybe you may have heard that from the pulpit before. You don't leave a legacy, you lead towards the legacy you want to leave. And as men, you've got to do that. We have to do that in the Lord's church today. We have got to lead purposely. Whatever that is, however that looks in your congregation. One of the things we're trying to start up again at West End is Lads to Leaders. Worked for me. Love that program. I wouldn't be here today without that program. Guarantee it. There are any number of training programs that are out there. Whatever it is, mentor programs, whatever it is, use those programs. Develop one of your own. Go visit somebody that's got one. Figure out what it is to help bring people to understand what it means to be leaders. I love this quote from John Maxwell. This is what he says in essence about leadership and about training and leaving a legacy. He says, "We may teach what we know. We do a great job of that in the Lord's church. Heard some great lessons today from men who are both preachers and aren't preachers. They teach what they know, but you reproduce what we are. You reproduce what you are." Think about that in terms of what your congregation looks like right now and what you want it to look like 10 years from now. You're going to reproduce what you are. If you don't like what you see, change it now. Change it now to lead towards that legacy like you want to. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, it's exactly what Paul writes to Timothy. "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We teach to teach others to teach others. That's how we lead towards the right legacy. I'll leave you with this thought again, and here's the challenge for you. 1 Chronicles 12:32, "Of Issachar, men who had an understanding of the times, understand where we are and what's going on, and know what you ought to do, and then get busy doing it." My challenge to you, go home, find a young man in your congregation, and mentor him. Help him find his talents. Help him find where he fits in the body of Christ, and help him get busy fulfilling that now. Maybe it's your wife finds a young lady to help her find her talent, to be able to use that for the body of Christ to grow. Don't wait. Don't let somebody else do it. You do it. You understand the times we live in. What are you going to do about it?